Access number 27268, Mr. Dennis Reed, Reel 3. We're talking about your training with the Chatham Division of the Royal Marines, the Corps. Sort of going through a typical day and looking at the training. You mentioned map reading and that kind of thing. Did you do much on map reading?
Yes. And they taught you a very, very hard way. When you was in the advanced stage of your training, you know what I mean, you've been doing it for 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, they then said, right, we are now going to do a 3-day exercise. And this happened to be at Deal. That was the Royal Marines depot for training, Deal. So they took us down there, and we had a lecture in the afternoon, and they gave you a map. That's all, an ordinary map. And they said, now, right, you can pack up now, do what you want to do, but we strongly advise you to get to bed early, because sometime during the night, you will be roused from sleep. Well, that didn't mean a great deal until they did arouse you from sleep. And what it was, all the instructors came in the room about 2 o'clock-ish in the morning with thunder flashes. And they kind of woke you up. And then as you went out the door, they gave you an envelope, a bit of paper, like, with a map reference on it. That's all. No name, just a map reference. And you was in threes. And what you had to do, they gave you, I think it was a half an hour, if I remember correctly, you had to reconcile where that map reference was on the map. And you had to make your own way there. When you got there, you would find food and blankets. But you was on your honour, and they trusted you not to use any main roads, transport, or ask people to give you a lift. You had to go cross country. Well, I used to enjoy map reading, and quite frankly, it wasn't no problem. We found it eventually, and there it was, the food, everything. And also your next reference. So you was allowed to stay there for a little while, and then you had to make your way to this other reference. Once again, food, blah, blah, blah. And that went on for 3 days. And what it was, is in one ginormous circle, and you finished up at the Deal Barracks. But that was enjoyable because you was left on your own devices. You didn't have no instructors behind you, you know what I mean. None at all. If you got lost, tough luck. And I didn't know anyone that abused the trustworthy that they put in you. You know, they did trusted you. That was good. But that was in the advanced stage.
What about tactical exercises? You know, tactical, you know, this fight, the actual exercises of
attack and
defence.
We had us against them.
Now, what were these exercises like? Can you describe what a typical one was like?
Well, it's only a case of it'd be like the Blues against the Reds. And what it normally meant was, if the Reds were the enemy, there'd be like a hut, or whatever you like, a big tent or something. And that is where the officers and the referees would be. And then the Blues, they had to go up there and, if possible, capture the whole darn lot. You know, and there was no holes barred. I mean, if there was one of the Red officers was there, and I mean, it's entirely up to you how you took him prisoner. You know, that type of thing.
You could be as rough as you liked, almost.
Up to really physical injury, yeah. You could be as rough as you like, and they could be as rough as they like with you too. So it was, as long as it was abroad. But say, apart from that, it wasn't enjoyable to to the extent of, oh Christ, I wish I could go back to the barracks. You know, it was hard work, definitely hard work. But there you are, it was all in a day's work, so there was no problem.
What about physical training? The Royal Marines now have a very tough regime. What sort of physical training do they give you?
Well, physical training, we used to do one day a week in the gym. And that included the usual things, arms bend, vaulting horse, up the rope, and all that. In fact, you may not think it nowadays, but I did pass the course as a physical training instructor. That's another story. When I was allocated or drafted to a ship, and I was appointed the PTI for the ship, but that's another story.
But you didn't take that course then, the PT instructor, that would be a separate course, wasn't it?
Oh, that's a separate course.
We'll come back to that, yeah. So how tough was the PT? How tough was the physical training?
It was tough enough. The hardest thing I found was rope climbing. Because it used to pull on my stomach. But you get there eventually. But then when you say PTI or physical training, see, when I mention Acme Carry, that was the forerunner of the Royal Marines Commando Assault Course, which is the toughest out. Well, they started off at a place in Scotland called Acme Carry. And that is where we had to go for a very limited training. Now, that included everything. Swinging from tree to tree, the death slide, crawling. I mean, I thought it was impossible that one could crawl along a rope, suspended from that to there with a rope, and you crawl along it. I don't mean underarm, but I mean actually crawl. But it's the easiest thing in the world once you know what to do. And that is, you adopt the position of a ship and you have your leg hanging down as a keel. Lost something?
No, I'm all right. Carry on.
Oh, yeah, that's all it was. So it was hard, but nowhere near as hard as what the commando training is nowadays. I mean, we never done that 30-mile false march. We never done that. We done a 5-mile. But that was tough enough.
Now, what were the instructors like? What did you think of them?
That is a very leading question. They were there for one purpose only, and that was to train you not to hurt you. Not to hurt you. If they saw that, when you go under that water and through a tunnel, a drain pipe, well, if they thought there was any danger, they would be in there as quick as anything. So they were tough to a degree, but they were there to do a job, and they done it, you see. And the one thing I will say for them, whatever they told you to do, they were there in front of you doing it. So it wasn't the case, you know, do as I say, not as I do. I mean, if it was like with the telegraph pole, you know, you've probably seen it. You get about six men with a big telegraph pole throwing it from this side like that. Well, I mean, they were joining with you. So, I mean, oh, you got to know them and like them, you know. I mean,
they were fair enough then.
They were as fair as they could ever be. Yes, definitely. Shift them out of your way. That thing is from me daughter, from me granddaughter. That toy thing.
You're recording, remember?
Oh.
So now.
Oh yeah, I forgot. You went like that.
It's all right. Now, what about the officers? Did you see much of the officers?
The officers, by and large, was acceptable, with the exception of one. And his name was N-A-G-H Bill. I don't know what the N-A-G-H, these initials were, Bill. And he was the adjutant. And I put in for officer training. And I had very, very good chances. We went into his office, and the scene you never forget in your life. And the first question he asked me was, "Does your father work?" Well, that's a very hard question to answer, so I said, "Yes." "What is his work?" I said, "He is a painter and decorator." If I'd have said he was a painter, they may have thought he was a Rembrandt or somebody, I don't know. Oh, and what would be his income? Now, they're dealing with my father, not me. And, and what sports do you play? Football? No, we meant sports, not that game. And in the end, I said, "With all due respect, sir, I request my application be declined." And I walked out. I was disgusted. And he was the only one.
So it was obvious to you that they weren't considering you properly at all, on your merits. It was just
never came into it. Probably that would have come later, I don't know. I don't know, I wasn't interested. But I had I could have passed it easily, I reckon, because when I went through for NCO.
We'll come to that. So, now, anything happened while you were at Chatham? I'm not quite sure how long this basic training was. You were there from February to...
Basic training at Chatham was approximately 6 to 7 months.
So that's to, roughly to August.
Yeah, roughly, I mean.
Just after your birthday.
Funny enough, if I'd have known this, I mean, I've got me parchment in me desk.
Well, we'll perhaps look at that tomorrow. Now, what about, why were people being rejected? Because you said that the course has been trimmed down all the time. You ended up with 40 to start and 15, 20.
Well, it may sound a little bit bombastic, and then they just failed the course. I mean, they may have been cross-eyed when they come to shooting. They didn't know their left foot from their right. Now, you know, things like that.
They failed the course, but what would happen to them? Would they go to the army?
They would go to the next squad.
They'd be back-squadded?
Back-squadded, yeah.
And then what would happen if they failed again?
Oh, that I wouldn't know. I never did know what happened there. I mean, I personally wasn't interested in those that dropped out. I mean, it may have been medical, you see.
So you were being continually assessed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, anything else about the training during the day? What other sort of training sessions might you go on? Any seamanship at all? I know you're Marines, but, I mean, anything to do with boats at all?
Oh, yes, we had the seamanship branch. That was at Melville Barracks.
Now, what sort of seamanship training did you have?
How to pull a boat with an oar. That may sound frivolous, but it's not all that easy to pull a cutter with an oar or a whaler. Very, very briefly signalling, you know, the flags, very briefly. Mainly knots.
Knots and splices, or was it just knots?
Well, knots and splices, yeah. Which I took a great interest in. Apart from that, the seamanship, that was about all. I mean, the actual running of a ship, that didn't come under the Royal Marines. I mean, we manned half the guns aboard the ship.
But you didn't do your gunnery training at Chatham, did you? Or did you?
Yes, I'd done gunnery training at Millville Barracks.
During your basic training?
During my basic
training.
Tell
me about the gunnery training then.
Gunnery training, you started off with an oricon. From a single barrel oricon.
Now tell me about the oricon. What was that like? How did it teach you?
There's a rapid fire automatic gun. The projectile was about 6 inches long, 6 to 8 inches long, diameter of approximately 1.5 inches. From that we developed to what we knew as the Chicago Piano. That was a multiple Oregon, 8-barrel. From that we went on to real naval gunnery, which was 6-inch. And now,
what did you think of the Oerlikon as a gun?
Very, very good gun. Very good gun. It's the gun you normally see when they're firing on the TV, and you see a bloke standing behind the gun barrel, and you see the barrel, boom, 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 you know. That is the Oerlikon.
And did you get the chance to fire it, at a target? Or was it just theoretical?
Oh, no, that wasn't theoretical. We fired at a target, right enough. Oh, yeah.
At a drogue, or...
I mean, when you say a target, do you mean an actual target or a drogue?
Any sort of target that... I mean, practice targets, I'm talking about.
Practice targets.
Drogue,
oh, yeah.
I was meaning, but...
Oh,
really,
yeah, we... practice targets, oh, yeah, we fired that all right. But with great success. It's a gun you couldn't miss. You couldn't miss with it.
It was accurate.
As anything.
Now, what about the 6-inch gun drill? What do you remember about that?
Well, I took great delight in the 6-inch gun drill. I happened to be a gun layer. With the 6-inch gun, behind my blazer there is a model of the ship I was on, Royal Sovereign. And you've got a battery on either side, port and starboard, of 6-inch guns.
The secondary battery.
That's the secondary, yeah. On the guns crew, you had gun layer, trainer, breech worker, captain of the gun, loader.
Now, can you explain what they all did? I mean, it's pretty clear, but just explain what the typical gun drill was on the 6-inch.
Well, a gun layer, as the name should imply, he used to lay the gun. To lay the gun is up and down, like that. You know, if that's your gun, he depressed it and elevated it. A trainer, he done that.
Side to side.
Side to side. And we used to sit, gun layer on the left, trainer on the right. Breech worker used to stand behind here, on this side of the gun. If you're looking at the front of the gun, it'd be on this side of the gun where the breech block handle was. The loaders obviously stood behind, and the captain of the gun was operating the breech. Now that consisted of the 6-inch guns crew.
Now take me through, how did they open the breech and load it then? So what did each of them do?
Well, let's say you had an alarm. Now, right up the top of the ship...
No, we're in training.
Well, I was going to say, right at the top of the ship, you had a director. Whether you were training or not, you had a director. Right. Now, what he done, he had a master binoculars. Now, he would aim at whatever he's aiming at, be it an enemy or a drogue or whatever. Now, when he turned his wheel, known as a bicycle hand wheel, he transmitted a movement down to the gun. Now, where I was sitting as a gun there, I had a big dial, and it had two needles on it, a black needle and a red needle. Now, when the director layer moved his bicycle hand wheels, he would move his lever. I would then move mine to coincide. Now, if you can imagine, you've got 6 guns in this battery, and 6 guns in this battery, and each and every one of the gun layer is following those needles, so you're all on the same target. The trainer is doing exactly the same, and the guns will then move port or, left or right. Then you would then scream out, gun layer on. So you call out gun layer on, That would be transmitted to the director up top, and he had a pistol, known as the pistol. And there's just a trigger firing, electrical firing. And the gunnery officer would give the order, open fire. Now, the actual moment of opening fire is entirely up to the director layer. And he's still looking at his binoculars, and he would come up. I'm referring now to an enemy ship. He would come up, and on the up roll, not the down roll, on the up roll, when his crosswires are just below the enemy, he would fire. And that would then fire salvos, broadsides, the entire battery would then fire.
Now, what was the loading drill? How who did what while you were loading?
Well, when you're loading, the gun's fired, and the breech worker has got a lever, a big lever, and he would pull that, like that, and it pivots there, and when he pulled it, the breech block, which is about that diameter, like that.
About 10 inch.
Give or take, yeah. Well, that that would open the breech. Out would come a load of smoke. But in the meanwhile, the 6-inch would then be like, say, fixed ammunition. Fixed ammunition is the projectile on a case. And they would ram it up the spout.
The loaders would.
They would load it. Well, that was an expression. It just came automatically then. You ram it up the spout. And then once that's in, and if you don't want to lose your fingers, you always put it in like that. If you put it in like that, you can lose your fingers. So you can, as soon as that goes in and the loader brings his arm back, the breech worker pulls that lever, the breech shuts. And then you start again.
And that's what you were training in?
That's what we were training in.
And you'd learn all these roles while you were training, I presume?
Yes. Yeah.
Any other guns you were introduced to at that time? 6-inch, Ehrlich, and what about others? A pom-pom or things like that?
Well, we had the pom-pom. They were just toys compared to what I was, the 15-inch. That's the big stuff.
Now, did you see the 15-inch while you were there, or was that later?
What do you mean? At Chatham? No, you couldn't get a 15-inch there, because, I mean, it's quite a lengthy barrel. But they had the rear assembly, which is the breech block and everything else. Now, I'm referring now to a breech block of around about that diameter.
So that's more like 2 foot.
So you could not do the complete training at Chatham, because to load the gun, you had to have a hoist. And the hoist consisted of I'll say it's a lift. And that went from the ammunition to the shell room, to the handling room, to the gun. And I finish out, I'm now going ahead probably.
So you were working on the rear assembly part of a 15-inch gun?
Yeah, because, well, when you basically, that is where all the works are. The interceptor was like, to the layman, is like an electrical switch. And when everything was ready and loaded, the interceptor worker then shut that. That illuminated a light with the director once again.
So he knew you were ready?
Knew you was ready. And then you just stood there and waited for the woof, woof.
But at this stage, you were just practicing.
Yeah.
Any other guns or gun assembly, you know?
No. I mean, that's all the guns we wanted. If I could just briefly say, aboard the ship.
We'll come to that, because we don't want
to. I was just going to say what guns we actually had. All right, Chatham. Yes, we had a pom-pom. Yes, we had a multiple Oricon. We had the breech working for a 15-inch. We had a full assembly 6-inch. And one I forgot, HA 4-inch twin turret.
What was that like?
The armament. What was that like? It was a spiteful gun.
Why?
Well, when it went off, it was like a crack. That's what I mean by spiteful. I mean, when a 15-inch went off, it was a woof-woof. When a 6-inch went off, we didn't hear much of that. But a 4-inch, it was right in the little turret, and it was spiteful. But to do all that firing, we had to go down to Pompey, Portsmouth.
What, to Whale Island?
Yes, it was. We went to another little place just off of Whale Island.
So that's another thing. Now, when your day's training had finished, I mean, what would you do in the evening? I mean,
just sitting down, you go ashore.
Now, what would you do if you went ashore? Where would you go in Chatham?
Well, in Chatham, we had one main road. And I have forgotten how many pubs was in that road. It was double figures. Double figures. And that was it.
And what was it like? What was it, the atmosphere like in those pubs? People can't picture it now.
Well, not really. I mean, it's just a load of Matlows, Marines, Royal Engineer Army. Occasionally you saw a civilian. It would be like a dockyard matey, you know, workers. A terrific smoke atmosphere.
What's drinking? How much drinking? By you as well. I mean, were you drinking?
Oh, yes.
Had you drunk before you joined the Royal Marines?
Not seriously. I mean, I'm not saying the Marines made me drink, but you drunk to be sociable, and a couple of pints was fair enough, really. I mean, because if you had a heavy day tomorrow, I mean, if you said to the sergeant, "I've got a hangover," that was your hard luck. So, no, it's...
So most of you just drank social drinking?
Yeah, just social drinking, a couple of pints.
Were you warned about the tarts and that sort of thing?
No, not really. No. I mean, with all the women down there, I mean, it didn't take you long to find the good and the bad women if you wanted to, you know. But basically, I think the majority of the men stayed away from them. I think so.